I'm reeling. It's burning strong and bright. I grip the edge of the sink, recalling his woodsy scent and the taste of good beer. That's what Trevor Willis is to me. The sexy aroma of spice and outdoors and the taste of craft beer. An intoxicating combination. I could lie to myself and say that this unquenchable twisting deep inside me is from the martinis. But I know the truth. It's him. It's been him since the first night we met. My world was sent out of kilter. For nearly the last year, I've tried to deny it, but the truth won't let me go. From his reaction, he's as captive as I am. While being held hostage by an undeniable attraction sounds somewhat frightening, I love every minute of it. As I make my way back to my friends, I see Trevor and stifle a giggle as I contemplate our plan. Will it be possible to keep this secret for a little while longer? It's then that I remember that none of this is a secret to Stephen, only to my other best friend, Kimbra. My gaze narrows, as if zeroing in my vision will help me hear their conversation. I love Stephen, but keeping secrets isn't his forte. What if he's already spilled the beans? I can't hear them over the music and other patrons. With Trevor standing, Kimbra and Stephen have our bar stools. It's as I approach that Stephen stands. I try to stay focused on my two best friends, but out of the corner of my eye, I catch the way Trevor's gaze turns sultry. The simple change in expression makes my chest tighten. Oh shit, this is going to be harder than I thought.
What happened to your lips?
Stephen whispers in my ear as I move to sit on the stool he vacated. My fingers come up to my mouth to assess what he means. I think it's an allergic reaction to the lipstick they used today at the show. Oh my goodness, Kimber breaks in. Stephen was just telling us about the fashion show. Here. She hands me my martini. The coolness will help your lips. She looks closer. They don't look too bad. Trevor also takes a drink of his beer, the glass barely hiding his amusement at my feigned allergic reaction. Kimbra's voice grows louder. Why in the world didn't you call me? Would you have gone on stage for me? Kimbra laughs. No, I would have been cheering. She turns and punches Trevor's arm, nearly spilling his beer. And you were there? Did you scream for her?
First, her name wasn't announced, though she did have my attention. Besides, it wasn't exactly a striptease. It's not as if we were shouting catcalls. However, Stephen asks suggestively, if you could?
Trevor smiles as his hand comes to rest on the back of my chair.
If it were appropriate, I so would have. Shayna looked beautiful up there in that white negligee.
Listen to you, Kimbra says with a smile. If Stephen hadn't just told us what she was wearing, I'd think you were smitten. Her mouth quirks for a moment. Did you just say they didn't announce her name?
I'm a man. I notice beautiful women.
Kimbra hums. Mr. Single for Life.
It's a Willis thing, Trevor replies.
Oh, no, Kimbra responds. No more generalizations. Your brother is cured. So there is a cure? I ask, forcing my most innocent smile.
Oh, ladies, Stephen interjects, there is always a cure, and I personally believe I'm surrounded by two of the loveliest cures I've ever seen.
He turns to Trevor.
Wouldn't you agree?
My cheeks heat as I take another sip of martini. It's everything I can do to maintain the conversation with the way Trevor is secretly drawing circles on my shoulder, running his hand through my hair, and teasing the place on my neck where earlier his lips made me shiver. I want nothing more than to turn toward him and wrap my arms around his neck. But I can't because through it all, Stephen is dropping hints the size of grenades while Kimbra is chatting about everything blissfully unaware.
We should have you all to dinner before you leave for London, Kimbra says. You too, Trevor. This is fun.
London is still up in the air, I say. I mean, of course, if we get the job here, we'll still need to go back to pack.
Apartment in the East Village, Stephen says softly as he lowers his empty glass to the bar. Next round is on you, boss lady.
And with that, he steps away. What is he talking about? Kimber asks. I shake my head.
It's not as if there isn't enough pressure, but Stephen put a deposit down on an apartment in the East Village for when we move back to New York. Is it that certain? I shake my head. It's less certain after my little stunt today of going on stage. Even though I stepped in to save the show and showcase all the lingerie, the woman who would be my superior wasn't thrilled.
Why? Trevor asks. I was there. It went off without a flaw.
The sales are good, but the point of a fashion show is to showcase fashions. When the show is over, the fashion should be the headline, not pondering about the loss of one model and questions about her replacement.
I don't know how you do it. Dealing in HR is enough for me, Kimber says.
Well, you seem to have an in with your boss, too. That doesn't hurt,
Trevor says with a grin.
Kimber shrugs. Speaking of which, before she can finish, I hear a voice I never expected. One thick with a British accent.
Willis, we're next in the pool table queue. You're about up.
Max, I say, turning his direction. Stunned doesn't begin to describe my reaction.
Shayna?
The good vibes I've been feeling since entering the bar disappear in a puff of smoke as Max Cantell's beady, cheating stare comes my way.
You two know each other?
Trevor's comment goes unheard as I step from the bar stool, all 5'6" of me, poised and ready to fight.
Get the hell away from here before Stephen sees you.
He's here?
Max asks, sounding less angry than I would have expected.
Get out! How dare you track him down?
What are...
Trevor tries again to speak.
Get the hell away!
I frantically look to my left and right, wondering where Stephen went before turning to Trevor.
You know this man?
Yes, we're friends.
Max reaches for me, but I pull away.
Shayna, listen to me. There's been some misunderstanding. I haven't been able to reach Stephen for nearly a month. I've left messages and emails. I've even sent a courier.
My finger pokes his direction, getting closer and closer to hitting his chest with each word.
Keep your lame-ass excuses to yourself.
It's then that I feel another hand on my back.
I need to leave,
Stephen says. I hear the anguish in his voice.
Stephen,
Max asks,
what the hell happened?
When I turn, Stephen's back is as straight as a rod as he turns to Kimbra.
It was very nice to meet you. It seems I need to leave.
She says, I don't know what's happening.
I look from Kimbra to Trevor. Both of their expressions are filled with question.
I need to go too. Call me.
I stand taller.
Kimbra.
And with that, I turn toward the door, my hand in the small of Stephen's back as I navigate our way through the crowded bar.
Sorry, boss lady, he says as we step onto the sidewalk.
It is then that my phone buzzes as his body trembles beneath my grasp.
Let's get back to the hotel.
Wine?
Copious amounts of wine.
Once we're in the taxi, I pull my phone from my purse, but before checking the screen, Stephen turns my way, his eyes glassy with pent-up emotion.
Do you know something else I love in New York?
He asks.
You mean besides me?
He nods.
Yes, besides you.
When I don't answer, he does.
Pizza.
Oh my God, I was just thinking the same thing earlier tonight.
I tap on the partition separating us from the driver. Pulling the cell phone from his ear, the driver asks,
Yes, lady?
Stop at the Underground Pizza on Hanover before going to our hotel.
No good, miss. There'll be no parking or standing in that area.
Stephen lets out a long breath.
Then drive me in circles until she has our pizza. Whatever you want, the meter's running.
I grin when I see Stephen smile.
I'll cover the meter, you get the pizza,
he says, just before laying his head on my shoulder.
Deal.
He looks up.
You really are my best friend. I don't know what's going to happen with this promotion, but whatever it is, I'm glad to be here with you.
I reach up and pull his head back to my shoulder. This has been a crazy-ass night.
Are you going to check your texts? Your phone's been buzzing since we left the bar.
I sigh as I swipe my screen. 3 missed text messages. 2 from Trevor and 1 from Kimbra.
Crazy-ass night,
he says.
You can say that again.
Chapter 12. Shayna. The club clothes are gone. Mine lie somewhere on my bathroom floor. I traded them for more comfortable alternatives. Yoga pants covered in multicolored shoes and a big t-shirt. As soon as we made it to the hotel, Stephen did the same before coming to my room. His chic jacket and trousers are gone, and in their place, he's wearing jogging pants and a Yankees t-shirt. Growing up in Illinois, I'm more of a Cubs girl. When I was younger, each summer, my family would go into Chicago for a weekend of what my mom called family time. Most years, we'd see a Cubs game. I love Wrigley, but my favorite part is Wrigleyville. Not only are the hot dogs and popcorn always the best, but it is one of the few times we'd get to see our parents relax and sit back with a few beers. They saved their alcohol intake for special occasions. Another annual stop was usually a place my parents considered educational, such as the aquarium or one of the museums. While I always liked the Museum of Science and Industry, I think that while listening to my parents talk, I learned more in Wrigleyville. Unlike my parents, I don't feel the need to limit my alcohol intake to family time. It's not that I drink a lot or every day, but life often requires a good glass of wine. Sometimes that's also a great time for a warm bubble bath or, like tonight, just a good friend. Those are the ingredients for my special times, since I don't have a husband or a family of my own. "Would you be my family?" I ask Stephen. "Oh, girl, I've said it before. You're my sister from another mister." "And another missus, but it still works." I close my eyes and inhale the deep Cabernet aroma. There are some people who can taste wine and recite a list of familiar flavors. I'm not one of them. "I like wine," I admit. Stephen laughs. "You'd make a great connoisseur." "I could be one if I wanted to." When he shakes his head, I sit taller, swirl the contents of my glass, and change my voice to something that sounds somewhere between a snooty librarian and Charlie Brown's teacher. Clearing my throat, I inhale deeply. Then I take a small sip. "Being grown in the Napa region of the valley, this full-bodied Cabernet is dense in the darker fruits." "You're dense," Stephen mumbles. I ignore him as I take another sip and look at the bottle. 2010. Yes, the blackberries were prominent that year, which is very evident. I also notice a hint of black pepper, and do I taste bell pepper?"
"I love bell peppers."
"Next time we should get them on our pizza."
"Next time," he says, the excitement fading from his voice.
"I'm not going to get drunk because of him. It was just that," he swirls his Cabernet, "I didn't expect to see him, and well, I wanted to hit him with a full-bodied bottle."
Perhaps the wine is getting the better of me, but the more Stephen talks about Max, the more I think about Trevor. It's not that I wanted to hit him with a bottle. Well, maybe I did, at first. However, after he chased me down the hallway, hitting him was the last thing on my mind. Besides, there weren't any hard bottles around, not within reach. The only hardness within reach.
"Shayna."
"What?"
"You're doing that thing again."
"What thing?"
"Sleeping with your eyes open. I'm not cleaning up full-bodied wine from this comforter."
I giggle. "I think it's called daydreaming, and..." I grip the stem of my wine glass tighter. "I'm not wasting a drop. Our bottle is empty." It's not exactly the pity party I had planned back at the fashion show. Instead, this party is more about Stephen and less about me. We're sitting cross-legged on my king-sized bed. There's some old 80s movie playing on the television at low volume, and an open, grease-stained box at the end of the bed that very recently contained the most delicious cheese pizza ever created. Now, don't think I'm exaggerating simply because I hadn't eaten dinner and consumed 3 or 4 lemon drop martinis and have now added at least half a bottle of red wine. It takes more than that to make me exaggerate.
"How could I have known he was here?" Stephen asks.
I sigh, thinking through his question. "I agree. I mean, if the last time you talked to him, he never mentioned moving back to New York, how would you know he's not a figment of your imagination?" Stephen's eyes squint.
Max moved to New York.
I wave my hand, realizing I'm talking about Trevor and trying to hide my intention.
Hell, I don't know. I yelled at him. Did you hear me yell?
Stephen covers his ears.
Babe, volume. You're yelling now. Let's not add getting kicked out of one of the nicer hotels in the financial district. One, may I add, that's being paid for by Saks, to our list of crazy-ass things we've done today.
I fall back on the bed, kicking my legs out and nearly sending the pizza box flying. Today, just think about that, 24 hours.
Okay, he agrees less than enthusiastically.
I bolt up straight in the bed.
No, Stephen, really, think.
I'm thinking.
I'm not sure I believe him. He's pulled the small folder containing the room service menu from the nightstand and is covering one eye while he reads the open page. Stopping him, I reach for the folder.
Wait, he protests, pulling it back. I was thinking we should order one more bottle of wine.
That isn't what I wanted you to think about. Think about all that has happened since this morning. The show is done.
He reaches over and squeezes my hand.
You did great.
While I appreciate his undying support, I'd rather hear it from Vicky. Instead of arguing, I simply say, thanks.
Now that we're done thinking about today, because as amazing as you were, the show is over, and well, the last 2 hours... No, 2 hours ago. Yes, that's when. The night sucked, and not the good kind.
His words trail away, and I know him. I know he's falling into a rabbit hole of memories, and if those memories involve sucking of any kind, I don't want to know. I don't want to hear about it. I must change the subject. So what are we thinking about?
Right now?
No, I correct. Before that.
Wine. I say we get more.
I shake my head slowly back and forth. Not a good idea. My mom always says never drink more than you eat.
Your mom is so smart. What else does she say?
I shrug. I don't know. Some shit about marriage and babies and how happy she is for Kimbra and my cousin Callie. And, oh yeah, Pete.
No, Patty. You know, that girl who works at the drugstore who is now pregnant after years of trying. Pete is pregnant?
No, Patty, I correct. She and I were in dance class together 20 years ago. She was also better at her pirouette than me.
Oh, I'm sure you can do a pretty pirouette.
I start to stand and demonstrate my pirouette when the room begins to wobble. Just as quickly, I reach for the bed and hold on as the waves settle. Maybe I can show you tomorrow?
That's a good idea. What I meant was, what else did your mom say about eating? Because on the menu, it says they have nachos.
Nachos?
Yes, he says enthusiastically. And you know what?
What?
I still have his credit card.
Of course, my mind goes to Trevor. We never got to the credit card point in a relationship. To be honest, we never got further than what happened in that hallway. I want a credit card relationship.
You want a what? Why? You have your own credit cards.
No, don't you see? It's not about credit cards. It's trust. Max trusted you enough to share that information.
Shit, Stephen says dejectedly.
I'm sorry, what did I say?
You're making me feel guilty for wanting to charge his credit card for our room service.
Why? He's a no-good, awful, terrible person. He doesn't deserve to have good credit. I say we charge the room and everything to him. I stand, holding onto the bed before making the full commitment. I know. Tomorrow, we will shop.
I love shopping. That's tomorrow's plan.
No, wait, I say, remembering Trevor for the 100th time in the last 2 hours. I might have a date.
A date? With sexy Trevor?
I'm sorry. I shouldn't be happy if you're not.
I know what will make me happy.
What? Stephen reaches for the phone on the nightstand.
Wine and nachos.
He looks my direction and bats his eyelashes.
So you're good with another bottle of wine and a plate of nachos?
What will you say when he finds out?
I don't think he cares what I eat at nearly midnight. Hell, he doesn't care about anyone but himself and his pathetic assistant.
I reach over, flop face first onto the bed, and cover Stephen's hand, thinking about what Trevor told me. Maybe he just wasn't sure. Maybe he didn't know.
You want me to tell him what I'm eating?
I shrug.
not what you're eating, but maybe talking to him is a good thing. Yes, I'm no longer talking about Max. Despite my best friend's heartache, I can't seem to get my mind off of Trevor. Then again, maybe there's some truth in this for both of us. I think if there's any chance that in 2 weeks something can happen, communication is key.
Why 2 weeks?
Because no matter what, we're going back to London in 2 weeks, either to pack or live.
That could mean there's more than 2 weeks, depending on what happens.
I sigh. I don't want the job to have anything to do with feelings.
How can it not?
I scoot around until I'm lying on the pillow. I'm not a very good friend.
You're a great friend.
I can't think about Max when all that I'm thinking about is Trevor.
I wouldn't be a good friend if I didn't know that. Now, for the last time, wine and nachos?
Yes, but put it on our company charge. After all, we're recovering from the fashion show.
Chapter 13. Trevor. I can't remember being more confused than I was last night. I didn't know what happened, and obviously my sister-in-law was no more informed than I. 1 minute we're all standing around talking and laughing. And while I was content to be part of the small group, I will admit I was having trouble keeping my hands to myself. Shayna was just too close and too beautiful. All the lies I'd told myself over the last year about how I could forget her flew out the window in that hallway. After that, I couldn't stop myself from constantly touching her shoulder, hair, or neck. I did try to make it not too obvious, as I was trying to hide it from Kimbra. I won't lie, that danger of discovery made it all the more exciting. One of the great things about my sister-in-law is her conversational skills. I'm not sure how she and my brother will ever carry on the family name. I'm not sure she stops talking long enough for much more than wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. And again, I don't spend a lot of time considering my brother's sex life, only that his wife is beyond endowed with the gift of gab. And then Max walked up to tell me it was my turn to play pool, and all hell broke loose. Shayna went full-out mother bear. I was lost. It was kind of sexy seeing her all shouty and poking her finger at Max. The guy's been my friend for a few years, and we've always gotten along, but I can see how sometimes he may come off as a bit of a pretentious ass. Then again, that wasn't what Shayna was all up in his business about. It was when Steven walked up that the figurative pieces of the puzzle seemed to slide into place. I don't know what history there is between Steven and Max. Max refused to talk about it later. But whatever it is, it does not appear to be good. As soon as they left, I sent Shayna a text asking her what happened. I know Kimber sent her one, too. When she didn't respond, I sent another one that ignored the giant 2-ton elephant in the room and simply asked if I could still call her in the morning. She responded to the second one, saying yes and something about credit and cars. I took a screenshot of her reply, and maybe one day I'll ask what it said. There were a few words that were merely jumbled letters and even one with symbols. As far as I know, they don't have any intelligible meaning. Maybe one day I'll find out. In the meantime, I sent back a smiling emoji and held out hope that in the morning she'd answer my call. She did. That's why I'm now here, at one of the girliest places I've ever seen. Serendipity 3. You see, I've replayed the scenes from the first time Shayna and I were together over and over in my head. I've racked my brain to come up with something special, something to show her that I want to be part of her life. As much as I try to concentrate on those things, since last night, my thoughts slip back to the way she felt against my body while pushed against the wall and the pounding of her heart under that thin blouse. I can even imagine how her ass would have felt in the palm of my hands as I lifted her. Yes, I'm more than a little aware that for our first official date, taking her to my apartment and doing what I wanted to do last night isn't exactly the most romantic of ideas, even if I have thought about it every which way in a few ways I've never tried, but would be more than willing to give it a go. That is why I'm meeting her at Serendipity 3. I have two reasons for this location. First, the name means the occurrence and development of events by chance in a happy or beneficial way. I looked it up. The way I remember the night that led her to my bed, it was completely a series of events of chance. I don't think it could be recreated if we tried. The other reason is that this restaurant is world famous for its amazing hot chocolate. And even though the springtime weather is warm and sunny, I recalled something she told me. The morning she woke in my bed, she mentioned she liked hot chocolate. Now, as I wait, I hope she'll think this was a fun idea, not the desperate move of a desperate man. I take a glance at my phone. As usual, I'm early. We didn't agree to meet for another 15 minutes. It's then that my phone rings. It's my brother. I look around the restaurant and decide to speak quietly. Hey, I say. What the hell happened last night? Great to talk to you, too. Duncan laughs in the easygoing way that should not be associated with someone like him. He's this big-time businessman who makes a fortune in shipping pharmaceuticals. It was a pretty ingenious plan that he and his friend devised. The idea was that as the population ages, medications will always be necessary. The production of medications, however, is too much work, not to mention time-consuming and expensive. Instead, Duncan and his friend Mike decided the money was in logistics. Both the manufacturers and the distributors would pay big money for efficient shipping. A man with that much on his plate shouldn't be laughing like he doesn't have a care in the world. Then again, that's one of the differences between the two of us. I'm the planner. It's what makes me a good engineer. Constructing roads and bridges can't be done on a whim. Apparently, starting a billion-dollar business can. Personally, I think his partner Mike is the true brains. Duncan is the charismatic one who keeps the investors and employees happy. Kimbra, he says, was going on this morning about Shayna and her friend Steven. It was something about them leaving the bar upset. It was odd, I know. Kimbra and I spoke about it before she went home. I offered to call her a cab, but being your wife, she was taken care of. I'm all for her strong will. Hell, I love it, he says. But seriously, if she had her way, she would have come home alone via the subway. It's my turn to laugh. You know what, brother? What? You deserve her. I'm hoping that's a good thing. It is, I confirm. You've always liked a challenge. Oh, Kimbra is definitely a challenge. One I'm glad I have. Of course, my mind goes to Shayna. So you don't know what happened? Duncan asks. I got the impression that my friend Max, Maximilian Cantel, and Shayna's friend Steven have some history that isn't good. All I know for sure is that Shayna laid into Max, and after they left, Max refused to talk about it. He said the weekend was about Eric, not him. Hey, I'm glad you and Eric are still friends. I'm ready to end this conversation, but his comment has me curious. Why wouldn't we be? I've known him since college. But weren't you dating the woman he's marrying? Isn't she who you brought to my wedding? What? No. Oh, well, we're good. They're better together. You know me, not much with the ladies. That brings me to the other reason I called, Duncan says. Kimber said something else about last night. It's then that I look up and see Shayna walking toward me. Immediately, I notice the flowing long skirt she's wearing, and my thoughts go back to my fantasies about the hallway last night. Those damn sexy jeans would have been a problem. I'm suddenly a huge advocate for skirts and dresses. Her smile lights up the room as she comes closer. Duncan, I say, I need to go. My date, the person I'm meeting just arrived. Trevor, wait, a date? Who is it? Kimber said she was getting a feeling. Bye, Duncan. Talk to you later. I hang up just as Shayna makes it to the table, just in time to stand and pull out the chair for her.
Chapter 14. Shayna. It's been so long since I've been on a date, one that I actually care about, one that I want to succeed, that I am second-guessing everything, from my choice of clothes to the way to wear my hair. I know it's silly to act like a schoolgirl at 27 years old, but I can't seem to help it. This morning, after copious amounts of coffee, Stephen gave me a pep talk, which was sweet because I could tell he is still upset about seeing Max. He's also not feeling too well. I think it's because he fell asleep before eating many of the nachos. I, on the other hand, made sure the plate was clean before placing it out in the hall. I won't tell my mother, but I think the nachos saved me. Even though I wasn't 100% behind ordering them, I admit that I was feeling a bit tipsy before they arrived. The fact that they also arrived with a new bottle of wine is simply another element added to my total alcohol intake for last night. Despite what some may think, I'm really not that much of a drinker. It's just that some situations call for alcohol. Celebrating a stranger's engagement and supporting your best friend are two that come to mind. I can't even relegate the fashion show to a cause for imbibing. The sales were better than expected. Last night, after Stephen and I ordered the second bottle of wine, I checked my emails. There were two from Vicky. Neither was complimentary, yet they did have links to the sales spreadsheets.
All of the chosen outfits had better-than-expected sales, and according to sales in real time, the white negligee I wore had increased sales during and after the finale. Her last email said that all of the designers were content with the numbers. If I were the one sending out the emails to my assistants and juniors, I would probably be over the top with adjectives describing my enthusiasm for both their hard work and the show. This morning, I sent one to Chantilly and the other assistants, telling them how much I enjoyed working with them and thanking them for their time and energy in making the show a success. It is my word, success. I've decided to embrace it until I learn otherwise. After all, when my job is boiled down to the nuts and bolts, it's about sales. The sales were up. That equals success. So my drinking last night wasn't about the fashion show, but in support of Stephen. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Each martini, each glass of wine, no matter the amount or substance, I was there for Stephen. And he was there for me, following my mother's rule. Don't drink more than you eat. Last night's lesson, regardless of the alcohol source, was that there is something about gooey cheese, corn chips, and shredded chicken that apparently is very absorbent. All in all, I may have gained 5 pounds last night, but I didn't wake with a hangover. In my book, that's a win. Now I'm on my way to Serendipity 3, an iconic restaurant on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. It's where Trevor wanted to meet for lunch. I'm not only excited to see him, but to also see Serendipity 3. After years of living in the city, this will be my first visit. Maybe it is like Stephen and I said. Maybe I'm once again a tourist. As the taxi approaches my destination, stopping and starting in city traffic, I reread my text messages from last night. Thankful that I didn't respond to the first one Trevor sent. After all, it's not fair to be mad at him for being friends with Max. Last night, I was just too shocked and shaken for Stephen and his feelings to comprehend how we all ended up together. I did send a text to Kimbra finally, apologizing for our abrupt exit and promising to get together, just the two of us, before I head back to London. It was as I scrolled that I found one more text message that was more than a bit confusing. I'd like to say it wasn't from me, but unfortunately it was. I suspect it was sent between pizza and nachos, around bottle 2 of wine. It was sent to Trevor, and this is what it said. Yes, I still want to see you because of your ass and fives. Do you think we can credit cards? Trevor's response was a simple smile emoji. What does that mean? What exactly does my text mean? I suspect it has something to do with seeing him, liking his ass and thighs, and a question about credit cards, loosely translated to trust. While those are my thoughts, I hope not to have to discuss it. Why can't text messages be deleted the next day? It's a feature I believe would be well accepted by the majority of the population. The cell phone companies could call it the gaslight feature. I know it would cost extra. I'd be willing to pay. A simple message would replace the one that was deleted. No message was ever here. It was your imagination. Go back to sleep and stop texting. I smile as I consider the possibilities of this new feature. That is, until I recall my message that I can't take back. Once there, my mind returns to his ass and thighs, and I'm a little frightened that he might bring it up. I think the answer is clear. The combination of martinis, wine, and text messages is never a good idea. The warm spring air fluffs my skirt as I step from the taxi onto the street. Looking all around, I see the Queensboro Bridge within sight, and am reminded once again about my love for the city. Despite the time of day, there's already a line forming at the restaurant, and I hesitate to send a text, asking if Trevor is inside. If I do, and he didn't see the other one, I'm caught. Instead of thinking any more about the texts, I look up at the Serendipity 3 storefront. I can't really believe this is my first time here. Even though I've never visited the restaurant, of course I've watched the movie. It's what I immediately think about as the gentle breeze blows my hair, and I take it all in. In the movie Serendipity, Jonathan and Sarah have a chance meeting at Bloomingdale's. Glancing down the street in the opposite direction of the bridge, the sight of the famous store makes me smile. the setting and scene really are as they were portrayed. In the movie, the time between Jonathan and Sarah's first meeting to their second is 10 years. The first was a chance meeting brought on at Bloomingdale's over a pair of gloves. Trevor's and my first meeting was at a piano bar by a fire pit. It was brought on by us both being in Indianapolis for a wedding, the same wedding, which took us a little while to figure out. Momentarily, I recall last night, in the hallway of the bar, the way he followed me, the dark hallway, his kiss, the tips of my fingers go to my lips, the phantom feeling is fleeting as my heartbeat quickens. 10 years may be good for a movie. For me, in real life, 1 year has been long enough. Taking a deep breath, I step past the line and say a prayer that Trevor is already inside. I guess the only way to see if serendipity is real is to test it. Excuse me, I say as I make my way toward the hostess stand. The decorations within make me smile. They are exceedingly girly, bright, fun, and over the top. Tiffany lamps litter the ceiling in an array of colors and styles. The tables are close together, and all seem to be occupied. Do you have a reservation? The girl at the stand asks. I'm supposed to meet someone here, I say to the hostess. After asking my name and the name of my party, the young girl leads me a few feet to a hidden corner with a small round table occupied by a man who seems too large for the scene. All at once, my entire body warms. It's him. In the split second before he notices me, I'm both amused and attracted. Though he's relaxed and talking on the phone, his presence here seems completely out of character. I can't help but wonder why he chose this restaurant. And then it happens. His vibrant green eyes meet mine as the tips of his lips move upward, and he stands. Almost immediately, he ducks as his height nearly collides with one of the lamps. Damn, Trevor Willis is sexy surrounded by garish, colorful lights. That's not something just any man could pull off. As I get closer, his stare fills me with something new. The butterfly wings in my tummy come to flight. It's as if he's lost sight of the rest of the world. It's as if his entire being is standing and seeing only me. I hope I'm right, because at that moment I feel the same way. The bright decorations could fall, and the chandeliers could crash to the floor, and it wouldn't matter, because we're seeing one another. I can't take my eyes off of him. His shirt pulls tightly over his broad chest. There's a casual sport coat draped from his broad shoulders, and it takes all of my control not to stare at his trim waist and perfectly worn blue jeans. I recall with vivid detail the way he pushed me against the wall in the hallway. My insides twist, recalling the way his hardness pressed toward me. I move my gaze upward and smile at his sexy, messy hair. I've seen Trevor Willis dressed up for the night, or a wedding, and I've seen him when he first wakes, with basketball shorts and his thick thighs. No matter the occasion, his hair is definitely something I adore. It always seems out of place, as if it's in need of my fingers to comb it away from his stunning green eyes. "You made it," he says happily as he ducks under the lamps and pulls the chair out for me. "I'm not late, am I?"
"No, I'm just anxious,"
he says with all honesty as he pushes in my chair and gives me a kiss on the cheek. It's romantic and chivalrous and reminds me how a gentleman is supposed to treat a lady. While some may find it old-fashioned, I like it. That's how our first official date begins, with niceties and gestures, with simple conversation that flows too easily, yet is capable of tying my stomach into knots. Everything about Trevor Willis is sweet, sexy, and funny. We are too interested in one another to even look at the giant menu. Finally, after the waitress leaves for the second time, we both decide we need to take a look. "We have to get the frozen hot chocolate," I say, finally peering at the scrumptious-looking pictures. "I saw a few on my walk back to the table. They look amazing."
"Frozen hot chocolate with 2 straws,
Trevor tells our waitress when she returns for the third time. Once she's gone, I turn to him. "I'm a little surprised this is where you wanted to meet," I gesture about. "It's a little small. I almost feel like you don't fit." He chuckles.
It is a little smaller than I expected. But don't you like it?
I do.
The real question is, do you believe in serendipity?
My grin grows. I was just thinking about that same question when I arrived and the taxi dropped me off.
You were?
Have you seen the movie? I ask.
There's a movie?
I giggle, shaking my head. Men. Yes, I say. Oh my gosh, you wanted to come here even though you haven't seen the movie? He shakes his head. Then what made you think of here?
You?
Me? I ask, genuinely curious. Why me?
The morning of Duncan and Kimber's wedding, I ordered us coffee and you told me you like hot chocolate.
My mouth opens, but it takes a minute before words come out. What?
Now, don't tell me that was still the fireball talking. I mean, I hope I'm not sitting in an explosion of Tiffany lamps at a table too small for me when in reality you hate hot chocolate.
No, I say quickly. I love hot chocolate. I just can't believe you remember that. He reaches over and covers my hand with his.
Shayna Price? I remember every second we've been together.
Warmth fills my cheeks. I can't say the same. His laugh is deep, rumbling through the air from him to me. Soon, I'm laughing too.
That's what makes it special.
I mean, I know what happened, I explain, because you told me. And well, the holes in the memories from that first night aren't as large as they were the morning I woke. He releases my hand as the waitress returns with a large glass bowl of frozen hot chocolate, overflowing with whipped cream, and complete with two straws.
It's huge! Trevor looks at me and grins. It's taking everything within me not to say what I'm thinking.
I waggle my eyebrows. Oh, come on. That's what she said.
I only care about one she. Hopefully one day I'll learn what she says.
Shall we? I point toward the frozen hot chocolate.
I'm ready whenever you are.
As I move forward, pursing my lips over the straw, I wonder how long we could take this conversation before we were too inappropriate for some of the young patrons sitting nearby.
It's thicker than I thought, he says after a few drinks. You really have to suck.
I can't take it anymore as I grab my napkin and hope I won't spit frozen hot chocolate through my nose as I laugh. It's contagious, and soon we're both sucking and laughing and dropping terrible double entendres. Somehow, we manage to finish our hot chocolate and each eat some lunch. Once we're finished and extremely full, Trevor asks,
I'm hoping I can occupy more of your afternoon.
I was hoping the same thing. That's why I told Stephen not to wait up for me. Before I can answer, Trevor goes on.
It's a nice day out there. Have you had much of a chance, with the fashion show and all, to see the city?
I've had no time. His head tilts a bit.
Well, my lady, do you have time now?
I'm free until work tomorrow. Wait, I don't mean... Trevor reaches for my hand and lifts it to his lips.
Then let's go see the city.
Chapter 15. Shayna. The sun has risen higher in the blue sky. Once we're past the growing, waiting crowd, Trevor starts to head west, and I hope I know where he's taking me. Are we going to the park?
Unless you want to stop at Bloomingdale's.
Only if we can both try to buy the same gloves.
You don't need gloves.
He retakes my hand. I'll keep your hand warm. Even though that wasn't what I meant, and he totally missed the movie reference, I like his alternative. The city is alive with people hurrying from here to there. On corners, the music of street performers fills the air, temporarily masking the sounds of traffic. It's New York City, and I'm finally glad to be here. You know, I say as we near the park, it's nice not to worry about the fashion show any longer. It's done. Now only time will tell.
I couldn't believe it when I saw you up there.
I shake my head. What are the chances you'd be there?
Probably about the same as being in that bar the night before the wedding.
Serendipity. Trevor nods. You know, I say,
If you would have called me recently, you'd have known I was going to be here in New York. I'm not sure what made me say that, but the words are out and I can't take them back. Trevor leads us to a bench near the entrance of Central Park. Once we sit, he says, "Phones are funny things. Mine rings too." Oh, I deserve that. Can I be honest with you? I'd prefer you never be dishonest with me. He squeezes my hand. You scare the shit out of me. Me? You, Shayna Price. I told you something about me the night we met. Do you remember? I do, but I'm not sure that was truthful. I promise it was. You said you are awkward around women. That's it. Do you remember what you did after you told me that? I ask, hoping he does. Trevor doesn't answer. Instead, he leans toward me until our lips touch. On a warm afternoon with people milling about, the world disappears. It's not the fervent explosion of last night. It's more. It's sunshine and freshly cut grass, bicyclists and horse-drawn carriages. It's a walk in the park and sharing a giant frozen hot chocolate. It is the careful tending of a fire, the diligent care that is needed to keep the flames burning, their intensity growing with each moment we're together. When our kiss ends, we both stare into one another's eyes. Finally, it's Trevor who speaks. That's what I did. Now, do you remember what happened next? I take a deep breath and close my eyes. Can we please forget that part? Nope, never. When it comes to you, I don't want to ever forget a second, and I want to keep learning. Tell me something about you that I don't know. I love New York pizza. He shakes his head. No way. Cop-out answer. Everyone loves New York pizza. It's the best in the whole world. Tell me something else. Well, I have family in Illinois who would wholeheartedly disagree. Chicago has pretty good pizza, too. That age-old debate was obviously settled from your first answer. Chicago's pizza is deep dish. Real pizza comes from New York. I grin as I take a second and decide to tell him something that even I'm unsure about, something I don't want to admit. I'm afraid that I messed up my chances to get the job in ladies' lingerie. I don't regret what I did, going on stage. The show had to go on, but now I am afraid. What's the worst thing that can happen if you don't get it? I swallow, thinking about his question. It's a good question. I like that his response isn't false reassurance. Instead, he's making me think about the possibilities. I guess the worst thing is that I don't get to move back here. And we will be apart again. I don't say the last part. Don't you like London? I do. I really do. I think I'm a little lonely. How can you be lonely with Stephen? He seems like, when he's not upset, he could be a lot of fun. I scoff. He's even fun when he's upset. Is he helpful? Yes. He's the best at, well, most everything. I was wondering if he could help me with something. Stephen? My Stephen? What do you need help with? I was wondering if he could help decipher a text message I received last night. Oh my gosh. I lean forward until my chest is flush with my knees and cover my head with my hands. My words are muffled against my skirt. I was hoping you wouldn't mention that. Can I take the funny symbols to mean you like my ass? I peer up at him. Seriously, you're going to call me out on one drunken text? His smile grows. If it means you like my ass, you are forgiven. I have a secret that shouldn't be too secret. I sit back up and look him in the eye. I already know you're not great with women, which isn't true, by the way. What other secret do you have? I like your ass. I shake my head. Is that all? Oh, no. I like your ass and... He takes his finger and traces my cheek. Your eyes. Your smile. His finger continues moving downward. The way you shivered as I kissed your neck. I'm ticklish. He keeps going, his touch moving along the side of my breasts. Your tits. They're not that impressive. Have you seen my best friends? Trevor laughs. I didn't think Stephen's were that remarkable. Yours are definitely more impressive. His response makes me giggle. I love your laugh. And in this dress, and even in the jeans last night, you have shapely, sexy legs.
He looks back to me, our gazes set on one another.
There's a part of you that I haven't experienced, somewhere between your tits and legs, and believe me, I want to.
Rather direct for a man not good around women.
That's why you scare the shit out of me. When I'm around you, I say things I'd never say. I want things, things I'm willing to do anything to get. I also want to be everything you deserve. That means that even though my first idea for this date was taking you to my apartment and getting to know that part of you that I'm missing, we drank frozen hot chocolate and are about to walk around Central Park.
I stand and hold out my hand to him. Come on, let's walk. Remember, I'm free until work in the morning. Trevor's eyes sizzle, golden flakes exploding like fireworks as he reaches for my hand. Hand in hand, we walk along the main path, taking in the crowds of people, all most likely brought out by the nice weather. New Yorkers are a hardy bunch. Winter doesn't stop them, but spring brings them out of the woodwork. Like rats in the subway, and yes, I mean that favorably, sunshine, flowers, and budding leaves awaken the masses.
Can I ask you about one other thing that's been bugging me?
Trevor asks.
Sure. Do you want to steal cars, or is there something about credit?
I twist and play punch his shoulder. Stop! My autocorrect was having problems last night.
Oh, we're blaming autocorrect?
Yes, that's my story and I'm sticking to it. After nearly 2 hours of walking and one pedicab ride, we're back to the entrance.
May we continue this date on to dinner? Trevor asks.
I want to. And I really do.
I sense something else.
It's Kimbra. Since I arrived in the city, I've only seen her last night, and as you know, I kind of left abruptly. She sent me a few hundred text messages this afternoon and wants me to come over to her apartment.
Trevor's smile grows. I think she's setting you up.
What? Why? He pulls his phone from his pocket. When he shows me the screen, he too has multiple text messages from Kimbra and a few from Duncan.
When you came into the restaurant, I was talking to my brother. I mentioned that my date arrived. Since then, the two of them have been blowing up my phone. I had to put it on silent. Kimbra thinks she sensed something between us last night.
My eyes widen as I chew momentarily on my bottom lip. You mean we aren't as good of actors as we thought?
Apparently neither of us should give up our day jobs for Broadway.
Well, there goes that backup plan.
Right?
He asks. All those voice lessons down the drain. You sing?
Only in the shower.
My cheeks rise and heat as they undoubtedly fill with pink. Trevor reaches for my hand and hails a taxi.
That's it. I'm taking you to my apartment to hear me sing.
Trevor. When the taxi stops, he gives the driver an address that right away I recognize. Wait a minute. You don't seriously think we should show up at Kimbra and Duncan's together, do you? Before he answers, I willingly get into the back seat.
My lady, I'm tired of keeping our history a secret.
He turns my way as the taxi moves forward.
We can change our destination. We can go to my apartment, or you back to your hotel. But no matter where we go, I'm not making the same mistake I made before. This will not be our only date. I want another one and another one. I think coming clean to Duncan and Kimbra is the first step.
What if they're upset?
It won't stop us. Nothing will stop us.
He leans close and kisses me. I've never wanted anyone to be more right about anything.
Chapter 16. Trevor. Of course, my brother and his wife live in the penthouse, their apartment complete with an amazing view of the Empire State Building. Have you been here before? I ask Shayna as the elevator moves upward.
Once.
Good. Shayna turns my way and smiles. Today's walk in the sun and wind has left her cheeks pinkened. Her hair is pulled back in a long ponytail, the ends twisting into long curls, and her eyes are wide. Is there a reason we're now talking in one-word sentences? I was just thinking that it was a dick move to bring you here before my apartment. Why? Now who's using one word? Thankfully, we're alone in the elevator as it continues its climb. To access the penthouse, you must first check in on the lobby floor and the doorman must enter a key. Unless, of course, it's your penthouse and then you have a key. Okay, why was it a dick move? She asks, leaning back against the wall of the elevator. I look at the numbers changing above the door and know there's no way I have time to explain that my apartment pales in comparison to Duncan's. Instead, I lean over and kiss her cheek. Because I would rather be back at my place serenading you. Shayna squeezes my hand. If you can't carry a tune in a bucket, I'm going to be very disappointed. No, my lady, when we're together in my shower, I promise you won't be disappointed. Shayna takes her free hand and reaches out to the elevator's control panel, her finger poised to push something. What are you doing? I'm looking for the turnaround button. I don't think... We both still as the elevator comes to a halt and the doors slowly open. The entry before us is an expansive foyer with two large doors leading to one destination. Once, before they were married, Shayna explains. Duncan was out of town and I was in town. I stayed here with Kimber for 2 nights. Before I can respond, one of the grand doors opens and both Kimber and Duncan are standing in the open frame. Their expressions are a mixture of emotions that seem to be waiting for us to comment. Hi, Shayna says, stepping forward and hugging Kimber. Sorry about last night. Come on in, Duncan says. Once the women are ahead of us, he pats my shoulder. Sly, I like it. It's no secret that I'm not overly thrilled to get dating advice from my older brother. Their apartment is luxury at its finest. Marble floors, fireplaces, and floor-to-ceiling windows. I think back to when Duncan first bought the penthouse. With his reputation as a ladies' man, I expected it to be the ultimate bachelor pad, a place with a revolving door where the doorman allowed only one woman up at a time, unless instructed differently. To his credit, as far as I know, it never was. With my experience in architecture, I could better describe the penthouse by assessing the square footage and mentioning the 12-foot-high ceilings or custom woodwork and molding. While that's all impressive, what really matters is that it's fucking huge with a to-die-for wraparound balcony. And despite all of that, for years, this beautiful apartment was simply the place where he slept. Kimber really has changed his life. Looking around now, I see the subtle differences since they married. Color and accents. If Max were here, he might call them homey touches, such as pictures of the two of them, as well as other photography of the city and artwork that was never here before. Through the years, my brother and I haven't always seen eye to eye. There's the natural brotherly competition, and yet for some reason, as I stand here at this second, I see him differently. With our history, this is a welcome revelation. Wine? Kimber asks. I'm fine, Shayna replies. The difference in Shayna's demeanor from the park to now makes me uncomfortable. I don't want to be the cause of any problem between her and her best friend, even if that best friend is my brother's wife. Taking a deep breath, I jump in with both feet. Wow, I bet the two of you, speaking directly to Duncan and Kimbra, would never believe that Shayna and I ran into one another in the lobby. I look to Shayna, whose eyes are wide. Actually, it was our taxis that arrived about the same time, right? Shayna says. We did arrive at the same time. Because... Kimber prompts, not letting us off the hook. Shayna rushes toward Kimber. I'm sorry, I wanted to tell you, but I didn't know how. I can't help but notice Duncan's large smile. Soon, his wife is smiling as widely. That's it, Kimber says. Spill, I know darn well that you didn't accidentally bump into one another in the lobby or sidewalk. I want all the juicy details. As Kimber speaks, Shayna and I sit and our hands come together. From the strength of her grip, I know that she's more nervous about this than she's let on. Oh my goodness, you're holding hands, Kimber says, practically bouncing on the edge of the sofa facing us. Last night, your lips. What? Duncan asks. It wasn't an allergic reaction, was it? We should have told you, Shayna confesses, blowing my well-contrived lie out of the water. It's that we didn't want to complicate your wedding. Whoa, our wedding? Duncan says. That was nearly a year ago, Kimber remarks as if the wheels are turning in her head. You two, this has been going on for a year? Shayna's big blue eyes turn my way and I begin our story. Yes and no, you're right. We arrived in the same taxi and how about before we give you all the details, we take you up on that offer of some wine? Only if Shayna will help me find the glasses, Kimber says, standing and beckoning Shayna away from us. Before she goes, I give her hand one last squeeze. Instead of talking, Duncan leans back against the sofa and stares. I can't tell if it's his CEO look or just his cocky, I'm better than you attitude. With each passing second, his grin grows until I find myself debating about yelling at him or jumping up from the